WNST, AM 1570, Tass in Baltimore. We are BaltimorePositive.com. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week. Going to take a little Thanksgiving turkey crab cake next week and take a little lay day, but we'll be back after December. We're at Pappas this week. Man, we have a packed show. Dan Roderick's going to be coming by from the Baltimore Sun talking about his one-man show, certainly talking about Baltimore news, politics, entertainment, probably a little bit of fly fishing as well. My pal David Steele will be coming by talking about his new book, another former Baltimore Sun alum. That's three Baltimore Sun alums. Mike Bordick, however, never worked at the Baltimore Sun. He's a former Baltimore Oriole. Frank Kolarik and the world champion pitcher from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Adam Kolarik, is going to be joining us on Friday talking about League of Dreams. This guy comes out and has a crab cake from time to time. I don't think he'll be a Pappas this week. He is putting roofs on, but more than that, doing some solar as well. He is my longtime pal, sponsor. I am drinking the Royal Farms cup coffee today out of the Cole Roofing Cup. We welcome Bill Cole, our defending champion, back to the program. What's going on, dude? How are you?
Is there like a reporter Hall of Fame?
Is that me?
No. Well, I'm thinking we at that mug currently qualifies, right? So like that can be one of your things that goes into your little.
Oh, like Archie Bunker's chair in the Smithsonian.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right. I love that. Like, I'm going to keep rooting for that. Like, don't break it. It needs to last 30 years or something.
A lot of folks don't know the old story, but you gave me a new mug about 2.5-3 years ago. It was like right before the plague in that area. And it was a tall roofing mug. And I knocked it over in a segment with Luke Jones. Coffee all over my board, my little Mackie board, destroyed the board, right? Like, I'm dumping coffee out of the board sideways. I'm like, holy ish, Luke, I gotta go. Right. So no offense, but I have not touched that cup since that moment. I blame it on the cup.
And that's part of the evolution of, you know, reporting in the electronic age or something, right? It's like at one point,
Trying to give me a hard time because I'm not really a reporter anymore?
No.
You know, smells or no. What are you doing? You're laying into me?
No, I'm trying to
figure out. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall, Bill Cole.
I just want my mug in that wall. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. So, listen, it's the end of the year. I got to ask you this because, you know, I pimp for Window Nation, right? I don't have my little floppy hat, but 866-90 Nation, they're great. This is an amazing thing, okay? Because when we came on the air, something crawled into my HVAC and the place stinks today. It must have been a cricket or something like that. I don't know. I got new windows here. And this is the first week it's like BS cold in the morning, right? Like, I woke up, was in the 20s on like Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And the windows are so different. Right. From an insulation standpoint, that it's not drafty. It's not. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got a roofing buddy who's into the solar and like into all that stuff. What else am I missing here? Like, when it comes to energy cost and stuff, I want to give you the energy question today because I don't know if I'm saving money. I haven't got my bill yet. I mean, Window Nation would tell me I'm saving money. It certainly feels like when I put the heat on, it gets hot quickly. It turns off. It stays warm. I don't hear the. I'm telling you, I just smelled something weird coming out. But it feels to me like no matter what I spent on the windows, they're nice, they're good, they screen, the squirrels like jumping up, I like all that. But it feels like already I'm ahead of the game because I can psychologically tell I know the heat's staying in. I know the cool will stay in during the summer. And I don't want to say I didn't notice it in the summer. I didn't get the windows to land to August, right? So I guess I'll feel that next year. But I am guessing my 23 heating electric bill, all of that, I will really notice the difference based on when I lived downtown and I had to keep the heat on 24 hours a day because when it was 20 degrees, 20 degree wind was hitting 40-year-old windows and drafting in. I was cold as hell for 19 years. I am so much happier in the county because I'm warm, but it's made me think as I drive through the county and see solar panels that I'm like, I want to do a solar segment with you, Bill Cole.
So, I mean, I think that's a great analogy because I do think that even Window Nation can give you the data, right, that's been tested, but you can stand next to your window and we all can feel the cold coming through or not.
Well, I can feel in the old right. place. So I mean, on a cold day, sure. when you have bad wind, you just feel it come in. You know it, right?
Right. We don't know if we're saving $10 a day or $5 a day or $30 a day or whatever.
But I know it's expensive to run that thing, right?
And we know we're saving. So, it you know, the only, I don't know if it's a significant difference, but when we're buying things for our home, there's sort of a somewhat different threshold that we have to go through. Like for your house, knowing that those windows are saving you money and that you wanted new windows and you want to be able to see out of them and use the screens when it's nice out and all that, like that gets you there, right? And you do it. And there really is not a lot of time spent talking about whether it's $7 a week in savings or $8 a week or $12 a week and how fast do I get my return and what's my return over 20 years.
Well, you stop the bleeding is what you've done, literally, right?
So, right. But so in the residential space, we have that I live here, it's my thing, I'm going to use it concept. In the commercial industrial space where we do most of our solar, yes, there are some less tangible aspects to it, like you feel better about your carbon footprint and you know you're contributing to a better, healthier planet. But there's a whole lot of bean counters and there's a whole lot of investors and there's a whole lot of people who are saying, wait, how quickly are we going to get paid back? And what's our long-term return? And I think if I was going to stress anything to you today, it's like there's so many different ways to get a solar project across the finish line with different financial models and different incentives and all that, that again, you know, normally when you ask me this, I'm fairly quickly dismissive of just like, look,
Trump came back into the world the other night. When he was running the country, he was there to screw you guys. I mean, like, no matter how you voted or how people in your business voted or how and you're very independent. I mean, once we start to do this every week, I'm a Democrat proudly at this point, based on I would never be a Republican, based on I'm not one of them. And I never hope to be one of them. So that, you know, and I get sideways with Barry Glassman and different people who lost everybody lost an election here, other than Andy Harris, right? So I would just say the politics of this two years into this with Biden, does that not change things dramatically?
It's more like the description of this might be a little bit overstating, but we'll go with it because people can comprehend it. You know, like, no, I'm not using that.
Okay, fair enough.
It's certainly Biden is piling on, right? But like Trump didn't stop us. Trump, we didn't see.
But they want you to use coal and gas. Come on, man. I mean, it's part of the whole.
No,
it's
they
part
want,
of the whole pitch, right?
They want votes, and they identified the coal and gas people as a potentially underserved group that if they spoke to, those people would come out in masses and vote for them. That's all that is. I don't think Trump could tell
really,
you
all we have to do is drive an hour to the west plant. Of West Virginia and just go up 70 out to Pennsylvania and clean coal, clean coal, clean coal. The solar is the antichrist to that, right? Literally.
I don't know. I mean, the same people that own those power plants are the ones paying us to build solar. Like, I take that out of it. At the end of the day, in my opinion, this is whatever you want to call it. It's not fair, but
it's money.
Yeah.
Okay.
People don't care whether it's coal or oil or gas or natural gas or fracking, or they don't give a crap about anybody, and they don't care about the damage that any of it, you know, causes as they
say it's costing me $228 a month to heat my house, right?
It's a business. And you know, when they figure out, I mean, how many documentaries can you watch about big Fortune 500 companies doing things with chemicals into water supplies that are definitely causing negative impacts on the communities that they're in, to know that that's collateral damage, you know, like that's just what it is. And we'll pay them out millions of dollars if they ever figure it out, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it goes on all the time. So I guess the cynic, my, you know, the cynical nature of what I'm talking about fundamentally is just that solar takes a lot of that and puts it in your own hands. And whether you choose to invest in it or you just choose to reap the benefits by allowing someone else to invest in it and put it on your property and then sell you the power from it, we're still generating, you know, clean, renewable energy, right? That we know is better, more sustainable than the other choices we have. So in that regard, like,
so how does that work though? If I have a field in the Eastern Shore and we've seen them, sure. And I say, or if I had 5.5 acres in Towson, let's just pretend that if I wanted to put solar panels, do I become a, I just, Billy, I've known you 20 years. I don't really understand whether it's for me or not and what I would do with the extra energy I would have. Would I sell it? I'm trying to understand the financial model that if I had land that has potatoes or tobacco or rabbits on it, and I want to put these panels up or whirlybirds. And, you know, I've seen those in Maui for crying out loud. You don't just go out to West Virginia, Western Maryland. You'll see the whirlybirds in the sky, right? They cause they cancer. Prefer, they cause cancer.
I believe they prefer wind turbine as opposed turbine. To whirlybirds. But okay, yeah, I got
fair
you.
Enough. But I hear they cause cancer. But nonetheless, if you have land, what is it? Explain it to
all
me.
Right,
panels that I saw outside of Salisbury this summer.
Let's reframe some of that question. So the purist in me says that when I drive out to Deep Creek and I'm, you know, we rent some house for whatever, and you go out on the deck and you look out into the beautiful landscape and here's this ridge line and there are giant wind turbines all across the top of the ridge. Like for me personally,
just the way God intended it, by the way.
right. So
well, there was a part for me in Maui where I'm like, but I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, everything in Maui is expensive. It takes $1 billion to get everything there. Right. So I looked at it and thought, collateral damage is what.
Right. For me, it's not offensive to look at, but I can at least appreciate that that wasn't necessarily the landscape that was intended. And that's okay, because I don't think the picture behind you, right, was necessarily the landscape that was intended.
Dude, I have land with a radio tower on it, right? I mean, it is in the middle of Towson. Everybody can see it, except they don't. Except the neighbors were hearing my radios that were 101.9 in their fillings or their cavities or teeth. You know what I mean?
So, but the purist in me says, okay, hold on. Let me just get this right. They built giant propeller blades and giant poles somewhere, shipped them into the port of Baltimore, put them on trucks, drove them all the way to Western Maryland, built roads to a ridge of a mountain that didn't previously exist. You know, that's like untapped land.
They have to build a road to get, I didn't think about that. Okay.
Sure. So the effort that goes into that is pretty phenomenal. And my only ever cheeky comment to that is, how many empty rooftops did we drive by with our 150-foot propeller blades that don't have solar on them that we could have put solar on? So yes, wind power has a role in our future. However, I think we're missing the low-hanging fruit, right? And that's because the low-hanging fruit doesn't involve giant corporations and, you know, $100 million, $500 million deals where Goldman and all these big names are in play and it's a big return. So that's the stuff that's getting done. And that sort of drives me crazy, right? Because
20 years ago, if I wanted to put panels on my place, would I have to ask my neighbors?
Yeah.
I remember we got a satellite dish in Dundalk when I was a kid in the 80s. My dad had to go to Towson. We had to get a variance. We had to have it.
So homeowners associations. Yeah. Homeowners associations attempt to control it. But in the state of Maryland, they're actually not allowed. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to give you a hard time about it, but, you know, technically.
I had a lady in my neighborhood in White Marsh. We had a homeowners association. I'm not kidding. When I lived in White Marsh, there was a woman who put a clothesline up in the back and wanted to hang clothes. And they tried to make her take it down. And she, of course, went to court, said it was her therapy. It was like it was like a dog you take on a plane or a lizard you take on a plane. Right. So, like, I guess everybody could have, you know, the eye of the beholder, what a whirly bird and a turbine and what a clothesline would mean in your place, right? But
you tagged me with libertarian like 5 minutes ago.
No, I called you independent.
So you know, okay, independent, same thing. So
you're libertarian, you're really an ultra Republican at this point. That's what libertarian means. I don't want any government.
I don't want.
You're not. I don't think you're libertarian.
I don't want to do.
Bob Ehrlich called me a libertarian 20 years ago on the air. He's so wrong. He's lied about a lot of things.
I don't want to do a whole segment on libertarianism, but I don't agree with your assessment. But anyway,
okay, fair enough. Okay.
What I think the important part. So, low hanging fruit. Right. And the reason I'm reframing your question, because you're asking me about farmland, Eastern Shore, blah, 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 is again, the purist in me says, well, hold on. Do we really want to do farmland? And like we 100% do farmland, right? And farmland converted into a solar farm has a role in the future electrical energy makeup of our country. I agree. But again, I come back to we have done extremely successful projects on the top deck of parking garages. Like that parking garage is never going to be repurposed. Those spaces are going to need to be there for someone to park in. So that is just like a no-brainer about creating an additional stream of revenue coming off that parking garage because you're creating power on the top. Usually, if you need that many parking spaces, there's some building right around it that's using a whole bunch of electricity for all the people that park in that building. So there's a wonderful match of power generation and power usage that are very close.
Behind you, is that a school behind you or a business? You have a picture, by the way, if you're listening, Bill Cole is here from Cole Roofing. Schools like Dundalk High School, brand new, Colgate Elementary, both of my, two of my three schools are brand new last 5 years. I don't know if they have solar on the roof, but why would they or wouldn't they? I mean, why wouldn't they? I would ask.
So most of the schools, because we do a lot of school work on the roof side,
I know
most of the new schools they're building have some element of solar to them. Most not from a pure power generation offset concept. More from a scientific learning. We need to get some up there. We need to be able to teach kids about them. And we need to be able to see whether they help us with, our sustainability goals and things like that. We've did a net zero school in Columbia. It was a Wild Lake Middle School. So where, I don't guess that's near Columbia, Howard County.
It's Columbia. Yeah, right? Sure it is. Yeah.
They built a new school. We've covered the roof with solar panels. The electrical usage was all designed so that it could be a net zero school. So it's generating as much as it uses on a daily, monthly, annual basis.
So it's costing Calvin Ball less to pay the bill.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I just don't know the cost of all of this. Roof on Dundalk High School feels like it'd be pretty big. And if you put panels up there, maybe it would be, to your point, net zero would be the word you use, right?
Yes. And I think like they are conservatively, cautious, right? Because the last thing they need to do is create some kind of significant maintenance problem. The schools struggle with, maintenance and taking care of all their assets. And those buildings are there for a long time. So it's not simple.
We had a man that worked in the boiler room at Colgate back in the day, right? I mean, there was
just keeping that thing going. Right.
Yeah.
So I appreciate their effort. I think it's time to accelerate it. I think it's time to do it. We know it's there. We know it can be done. The biggest piece, again, that I come back to is, okay, so you ask me about farms, and I'm saying, how about parking garages? How about rooftops? Of course, farms, yes. And the reason that they love the farms is because you can get volume. They're creating more. It helps with the, cost off stuff. So the farms are great.
And you don't have a bad crop year unless the sun doesn't come out, right? Then we're all screwed.
Right. Well, and I mean, but the idea is you referenced the picture in my background. Again, we're generating the power on the roof and the parking garage, and we're using it in the building. So there is, I know you understand the concept of like line loss, right? These little electrons that kind of get, they float away. They don't actually make it to the end usage spot, right? So when we build a power plant at Calvert Cliffs and we're pushing energy all across the whole state from there, the amount of line loss, the amount of lost electrons that don't actually turn into electricity or power a light bulb is pretty significant. When we're able to put it right over top of us and pipe it in the building,
you're using all of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a much more efficient way of generating and using power. I know that the whole spectrum is part of the plan. My only push is let's at least pick off these little pieces along the way that seemingly are more efficient, better, less environmental impacts. You know, like let's think before we change the landscape of that ridge out in Western Maryland. You know, sure, we might need to do it one day, but does that have to be today? I don't know. And then once you get to that point, you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. You don't have to pay for it. So if your only mission is, I want to lower my operating costs of my business by paying less for electricity, cool. I have partners. We come in, they pay for it, they operate it, they just sell you the power. So from a business concept, you know, we are all constrained by our resources, right? You don't have enough manpower. You don't have enough materials. You don't have enough cash, right, to do what you want to do. Well, here's an opportunity to lower your operating costs without using any of your cash, right? And then allow someone to build it and then reap the benefits of lower cash. Now, if you are in a position where you have capital to put to work, hey, great, let's think about that. If someone else is willing to come in and pay for your system and then just sell you the power, do you think there's benefits for them? Damn right there is, right? So if you want to step into that role and be the owner operator, well, you can do that too. And then you start talking about tax credits and solar renewable energy certificates and other ways you're going to get benefit in addition to the electrical savings. Now, people have gotten comfortable with the concept of, I'm going to do what I do good, and then I'm going to outsource everything else, right? Like, let somebody else be my payroll company, right? I don't need to type payroll into the computer every day. I'll use ADP or whoever. Great. That's this concept of letting someone else build and operate your solar asset and just buy the power.
Well, you're buying it from BGE now or whomever your provider is. So you have a third party no matter what, right?
The only place where this gets a little bit of a harder discussion is we understand payroll and we understand all the different tasks that one would need to accomplish to be able to effectively do payroll every day, right? Well,
I don't understand electrons.
Well, right. And now, but the nice part about solar is there aren't any moving parts. Actually, there's one moving part. There's a little fan and an inverter, like your computer fan, but there are really no moving parts, right? There's a maintenance agreement where we come out and we just check it twice a year, whatever. But it just kind of sits there, catches the sun, creates electricity. You know, like it's not a high maintenance, high...
It's passive is what you're saying.
Right, yes, very good. Good word.
I use words. Bill Cole is here, Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He can put some... You know, usually we're talking football or your libertarianism or independence or whatever it is. But I am fascinated by this. And the more I talk to you, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm, you know, like literally... It feels a little complicated to me in some way. Overwhelming to some, right? It's not what I do, right?
Okay. So I will 100% confirm and agree that it feels that way, just like the first time you bought a house, the first time you bought a car, you know, the first time you made...
You used a cell phone.
well, it's the first time you made a major investment, right? So when you go to make that major investment, you're like, hold on, I need to understand this. This is scary. I'm making a 30-year commitment to what? What am I doing? I'm taking a 5-year, 10-year car loan, whatever.
Yeah, my wife's about to go over and see Dennis at Coons right now. So yeah.
So the first time you do that is very uncomfortable. Usually you take dad with you. He co-signs, you know, like there's a little bit of a shelter and a protection there that goes on. We do in this industry, the solar industry, still fight that uphill battle of it's a first time for everybody, right? You never bought this before. So that's where, like, we've been doing this for almost 15 years now.
Well, you can't see it and touch it and feel it either. You can't take it for a ride.
Like, we know the questions to ask, right? Like, hey, are you sure that this piece of property, this parking lot, parking garage, rooftop, building, whatever, you really need to be comfortable with making a 25-year decision, right? You to get your return.
Maybe 79. That's a hell of a decision.
To get your return, to get the return that we're going to show you, it needs to operate for 25 years with some semblance of the same system. Now, that doesn't preclude you from getting to the 3 to 4 year payback, right? So,
well, there's also the thoughts, what BG&E is going to charge me 8 years or 10 years from now, more than today.
I think everyone agrees with that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, but even for people who are skeptical on that, because we have seen historically times where the commodity price goes down. So when fracking was running full speed ahead, that artificially pushed the commodity, not artificially, but it pushed the price of the commodity part down. What it doesn't do is BGE, because they're the actual distributor of power, the actual electricity. So your bill is two parts, the commodity and the distribution. Commodity goes up and down depending on the price of, you know, gas and all kinds of stuff. The distribution part only ever goes up. It only ever costs us more to manage our grid, more to replace poles, more to build new power plants. So that piece has gone up to where it's now, for most people, 50% of their bill. So that part alone, we're reducing no matter what, right? And that's going to keep going up. The commodity, we're reducing no matter what. That price can fluctuate. So when we build models for people who are not 100% convinced that the price of power is going up, we'll say, fine, no problem. The price of power today is this. For 25 years, that price never changes. And those...
Well, it's the one thing BG&E can't give you, some sort of guarantee of what...
Right.
If BG&E can say right now, your bill will be $200 a month forever.
Right.
They try to do that, right? In the winter, they try to, you know, sort out your bill so you don't have a $400 bill in January and a $50 bill in April, right?
And we do that. Like, so when we own and operate those assets that aren't owned, you're just buying the power, we budget bill. It's pay us this much every month, and then once a year, we'll true up. But when we do that modeling at 0% escalation on the power, those projects are still undeniably great, right? They know they're great. Our conversations are always around, how are you going to deploy capital? Like, if you can buy another truck and get and generate revenue in a way that you know, at a return that you know, you might choose to invest in that as opposed to solar because you know it, whatever, fine. That's a great conversation. At least we've gone through the process of saying, what are my options? And then make an informed decision on what the best thing for your business is. What my frustration is, too hard of a word, but like every business, especially the ones that own their own facilities, need to know what it costs and what that pro forma looks like so they can make an informed decision as to whether they want to invest in it or not. Because even if they don't want to put their own capital to work, especially in a rising interest rate environment where now all of a sudden everybody's paying attention to cash again, like before when they were basically giving money out, nobody cared. Now everybody all of a sudden cares again. This is a way to expand the capital available to you to run your business, because someone else is going to build the asset and just sell you the power that results in a savings to your business. Like, you don't have to pay anything and we're going to save you money.
I want to call Bill Cole. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy here. You can find Bill at Cole Roofing.
I'm not saying that everybody
out in front of Baltimore Positive.
Right. I'm not saying that everybody should buy it. I recognize that, right? All I'm saying is you should know what this looks like for your situation so that you can make an informed decision. You know, that's it. Like, we all want
to get a meeting
good,
with you, then.
Right? We all want to do good, right? Like, we want to save the planet. We want to, whatever you believe about climate change or anything, I don't care what your, and you know, you and I love to debate all this stuff. I don't care what your opinion is, right? The fact that the sun comes up every day and we have a piece of technology that turns that sunlight into electricity, we probably should figure out how to use that. Like, that's it.
And that's what you thought 20 years ago when you didn't understand it, right?
Of course.
You're just a kid on a roof, right?
Of course.
Bill Cole, he's smart about things solar. You can find him out at Baltimore Positive. Last thing for you, a little football. Have you caught any Ravens fever yet? I had somebody say to me the other day, people want my tickets all of a sudden. And I'm like, well, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm more concerned about the empty seats in the upper deck than Steve Bisciotti, who's more concerned with banning people like me. I don't know that the city's on fire. And Bill, I had an interesting thing. I went up to Toronto 2 weeks ago to see Bono, and I flew through Buffalo in and out. I had breakfast on Saturday before the Bills lost to the Jets, and I had breakfast on Monday, the morning after they lost to the Jets. I wasn't around last weekend when they lost. I did watch the game. It was a great game. But that city's on fire for football. This city has been on fire for football in the past. I think 6-3, I think the bye, I think Lamar, I think the bad schedule, all of that. I still am going around town on Fridays looking for what used to be Purple Friday. I'm certainly not participatory in this at this point. They don't let me go to the games. But I'm not seeing that yet, that swell. Now, I'm sitting here saying they're going to be favored, double-digit favored this week, then the next week. They're probably going to be 9-3 3 weeks from now, probably, right? Yeah. And I don't know what turns the switch into Purple Fever, Festivus Fever, or whatever, but I don't have it right now. I think they're okay. I don't know that the city has it right now.
I think 9-3 and the holidays tend to get people in a good mood, and you'll see a lot more purple. Ain't no doubt about it.
Trust.
Right. I think right now my take is that the Saints are terrible. Like, I wasn't sure, but now I just think the Saints are terrible. I think it's weird that we got a great linebacker, like, who just showed up, and it's like, wait a second, you can just drop him in there and he's like awesome.
Well, like, the left tackle too. You know, they have two great players who, and I look, Stanley, we sat here for 2 years saying, will he, won't he, can we, can't, right. Well, he's back, he's playing, he looks healthy. Right. So for now, that's an addition I didn't see 6 weeks ago that maybe John Harbaugh saw. I think we all saw Ojabo coming, and he's going to play this week. And I think everybody realized Tyus Bowser was coming back. I'm not ready to count on Dobbins right now, but Dobbins might run for 182 yards against the Bills in Buffalo in January. But right now, I don't see that. But that's the interesting part of the season, and someone that chronicles it professionally, at least I used to, that you never know what's around the corner on this, because the Bills were feeling Super Bowl fever. Now they're feeling like they haven't won in 3 weeks.
Well, right. And like, is our playoff roster, wide receiver core, DeSean Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson, and Bateman? Like, is that it? Because like,
not Bateman. Bateman's not playing.
Oh no, he's done.
No,
right?
He's so gone. Yeah, yeah.
Who's the other guy?
Yeah, Duvernay, Prochet, whoever
Duvernay,
you like.
Duvernay. There you go. That's who I'm thinking of. Right. That the jack of all trades. Yeah, like, I don't know if they're fit to play, then you've got a seasoned group out there who knows how to play. So,
Roquan Smith thing, you brought that up first. I mean, that's going to change things on the defense. You bring a great player in and stick him in the middle of the field with a bunch of very good players. That's going to change. And the depth of it all. I mean, they took their biggest weakness, and some would say Luke and I argue every day, you know, about the wide receiver and about the slot corner and like all that. I'm like, their biggest weakness was the middle of the field. They didn't have linebackers. They went and got they got what they could get. They couldn't get a great wide receiver. They couldn't get, and maybe they feel like internally they can suck some of this up, but the linebacker thing, you know, that guy's a special player. He's going to get $100 million deal from somebody. It might not be here. Probably, and to your point, us. It's like the solar thing. F those picks. I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about the future. I'm worried about I'm worried about my bill this month, not what I'm when I'm 79. I'm not thinking
well, like
about
every
right
time
now.
They run the ball, let's just only let them get 2 yards and see how much that changes the entire complexion of the game. But that's a compounding addition to the team, right? If Queen is really better, right, at the outside linebacker spot, then you just got him back into a better position where he can be a better player in addition to adding a better player. So those things start to have like ripple effect, right? And like when we had to bring the one guy off the bench who, you know, maybe he probably doesn't play for any other team.
Well, Josh Bynes a little older. I mean,
sure. Now you're just pushing.
They signed Brandon
whole
Copeland, who was taking snaps as well. Great kid, right. Great guy, local guy, but but certainly not Roquan Smith, right?
Right. And it just pushes that whole depth chart down one. So the last guy coming off the bench for you is significantly better than the other guy was. So, I mean, hey, look, no, am I like wearing purple every day and putting the flag on my car and turning all the lights purple? No, it's not who I currently am right now. I actually don't know that I would get there at any point this year, but will the community? Yeah. Not like, I think you nailed the 9-3 thing, which probably won't happen, but if it does, at that point, you're like, okay, we're going to host that first round game.
Dude, you better not lose to Carolina or Denver. Right.
I get it.
I mean, like, it's one thing to get on a plane and go down to Jacksonville and lose to that kid next week. We've done that before. Sure. I think of Jacksonville, all I think of us is like getting our ass kicked when we shouldn't.
But you know, the Bills are, you know, the best, second best, third best, top five team in the league. You know that. But they can still, everybody can go out and lay eggs. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff just happens. So I don't know. You don't lay eggs on roofs, though, right?
You're all.
This is what I can tell you. I have no doubt that we do, because my men are human and they make mistakes. The difference is that the only way you hang around for 100 years is that when a mistake happens, you own it, you go, you fix it, you make it better. And then that's the thing that the customer remembers about you is like, even, you know, when things go wrong, because they invariably do, they were there. They took care of us. They made everything right. And we moved on. So
I use a restaurant as an example, right? Like, you go and you order a meal. You're not happy with it. How you're treated from the minute you make the complaint, usually that's everything to me, right? Like, because I know you don't want to get it wrong. You're here, and I know you don't want me unhappy, or at least I think you don't want me unhappy. But the minute that I'm politely like, there's a hair in my soup, the steak's a little overcooked, on whatever it is, right? The moment that happens, the way you're treated, my wife and I had a moment. We were not in Wise Markets. We were in a different market, because this market had some items that Wise didn't have. So we're in this, and I'm not going to indict this market, but we went in and we had the worst experience, not at Wise Markets. And which I'm proud of. And I'm going to tell Dennis and Jamie and my friends at Wise about this. But
you also need to make a list of the things that they didn't have that you need to go to the other place for, too, because they should probably start.
It was just different. You know, these were just more esoteric.
Probably some organic stuff.
They have plenty of organic. They have my cereal. They have plenty of that stuff. They have my coconut water.
Your
Wise.
Gluten-free cookies.
This was more like a panettone on a, you know, on a run. You know what I mean? Okay. So they had the price wrong on it. My wife's like, it's only $2, but like, it's, and the way we were treated by the person was with indignity. You know what I mean? It was sort of like, the sign was wrong. It was wrong. And on the way out, I turn to my wife and I'm like, that's probably not what Mr. Smith had in mind when he put Smith's groceries up on, you know, I was walking out, I'm thinking that was a suboptimal experience. It may or may not affect me shopping there, but I identified it as, you know, it's the people. It really is the people, because in any other supermarket, in any other way, certainly in a Wise Markets where I've had nothing but great experiences, people are friendly and whatnot. When you have a problem, things don't ring up the right way. People. You need people.
So my question, only because I like to, you know, play the devil's advocate or whatever, is are you willing to pay a dollar more for every item in the grocery store?
No, no.
Because if you are, right, if you are, I guarantee you Mr. Smith can hire higher quality people that are sure to provide you the experience you want. Now, hey, look, I'll give Wise Markets all the credit in the world because they have to fight in that competitive environment and still do a good job putting the right people and providing the right experience. So good for them.
Spend less too.
That's why they're right. Yeah. That's why they're winning. I get it. But again, I always just come back to, we have this expectation and we want it all because we're just dumb humans, right? I don't want to pay a lot, but I want you to provide me with the best experience and the highest quality stuff. And I want, like, we have created extremely screwed up conceptual understandings of things. Like, the car business seems to have gotten it right, I think. And this is coming off the top of my head. So if it ends up being wrong, you understand.
Well, Dennis is already happy.
Like, you expect higher quality and to pay more for a Cadillac than you do
for a Yugo,
a Chevy,
right,
or a GM. And it goes down the scale. And where things have gotten a little interesting is when we, all the imports, right? So Kia, or the, you know, the newcomers, like, wait a second, how much am I paying for that? And am I getting the quality and blah, 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 blah. But consistently, the car business has built that model of pay more, get more, pay less, get less. And we all subscribe to that theory. We go to restaurants and we're like, I want the greatest cheeseburger ever, and I want to pay $3 for it. And it's like, well, you realize there's a human in the back making your cheeseburger, right? And you really think they should make cheeseburgers for $3? Like, this was I don't know if we talked about this during the pandemic or not, but because there are so many people who enter the restaurant business, it puts that downward pressure on the price of food and the price of the experience of that food. Now there's that other category, right? The Alex Smith stuff, and, you know, like, where they just, the regular rules of the world don't apply and people go and it's great. But should we really, if another human being is cooking a cheeseburger for us, should we really be able to get that cheeseburger for $5? Like, is that really a thing? Like, how does that work?
I wonder how fast food does it.
Yeah.
You know, just on the pricing, right?
Sure.
I mean, the 99-cent something, something, something. And I'm thinking, how do they do that? Right. All right, dude. Well, look, football game this weekend, turkey next weekend. By the way, do you do sauerkraut on your Thanksgiving spread? We've discussed this before, haven't we?
So I am once or twice a year. I like sauerkraut. I do not have a resistance. It is not on the menu for me to make. I will make pretty much all the other stuff on the list. I will not make sauerkraut. Not all that right. I have anything against it.
You're not East Baltimore. You're not German, right. Polish.
It just
enough,
historically,
I guess,
has not been on the menu.
All right. I just ask because people think I'm a little weird. And people think Baltimore's weird because if you just go into the Wise Market, you'll see the sauerkraut and the kielbasa out because they know people are buying it because they have numbers, right, for this sort of thing. Bill Cole can be found at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, also at the front of BaltimorePositive.com, where you have a – you know how dapper you look? Have you seen your new picture? You look marvelous is what you look.
It's a little unfair. Made my wife jealous.
Have a good weekend, dude. We will try to check in next week for the holiday. And if we don't, have a great holiday. All right.
Yes, sir.
Bill Cole, Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. That was the deepest dive we've ever done on solar here. We're going to be diving into crab cakes at Pappas on Friday. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at the aforementioned Window Nation, 86690Nation, as well as our friends at Goodwill. Big thing. Next Wednesday, by the way, Bill, I am not going to be with you. You know why? So I tell you, next Wednesday morning, the 23rd, we will be serving less fortunate folks down at the Baltimore Convention Center with our friends at Goodwill, as well as our friends at Wise Market, who provided the turkeys. Thank you very much, Jamie and Dennis. And that's Wednesday morning. My wife and I are going to roll our sleeves up. If anybody wants to volunteer, come downtown for a few hours, maybe see the world a little differently, help some people out, and be thankful and be giving, right? Thanksgiving. Thanks and giving. We'll be giving on Wednesday. I'll be thanking on Thursday and probably eating sauerkraut and leftover pumpkin pie on Friday as well. Make sure you throw me a note, Ness at Baltimore Positive. That is Wednesday downtown at the Convention Center. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.